The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we hear in the world something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to the show. Sorry, I was entranced watching Poland versus U.S. in volleyball. The U.S. had a lead in their second match after dropping the first. In the second set, after dropping the first set, they got a chance to get knocked out here as Poland was serving. We'll see how that goes. I asked John about this, Sean. We had the discussion. Do we ever remember watching boys' volleyball highlights as part of any high school show we've ever watched? And he couldn't give me an answer, yes or no. The discussion was, we'll get to the Astros here. Obviously, Frombrunn is near no-no. But the discussion yesterday was about where do men's volleyball players come from? Because we don't ever remember seeing them. We know that there's college men's volleyball, but I don't ever remember watching a boys volleyball highlight before at any point. Is it not a Texas thing? Does it happen in other states? It has to. Where do these guys come from? I just don't remember it.
It doesn't seem like something these guys just, like, pick up.
No, you can't. Yeah, Chase Budinger was a great volleyball player and a basketball player. It wasn't like he retired from basketball, then picked up volleyball.
Yeah.
He was a high school, great high school volleyball player.
Maybe that's our in.
Where did Chase Budinger play high school volleyball? Yeah. And it feels like he's a California guy. Just looks like one. I'm just not sure. He played at Arizona.
Wow.
Where is he from?
He's from California.
Yeah. That's where it is. I'm sure there are other states that do it, too. Beach volleyball, big thing there. Indoor volleyball, sure a big thing there, too. But don't remember it ever. Don't ever remember Nate Griffin at one of those events. Or we have a high school sports show on the station. There's a shirt in there, I think, still.
Yeah, there still is.
Don't remember them ever talking about boys volleyball before.
Yeah, Chase Budinger played high school volleyball at La Costa Canyon High School.
Sounds like a place that would have boys volleyball, the Costa Canyon.
His teammates on the basketball team included former NFL quarterback, or former future, I guess, NFL quarterback, Kevin O'Connell, current head coach of the Minnesota Vikings.
There it is. So, we'll see if the U.S. men can bounce back and win the semifinal match to go to the gold medal game, just on the TV. And it just sparked a memory of the conversation from yesterday. Still, anyone ever seen a high school boys volleyball highlight? Where do these guys come from other than California? Maybe that's where it all began and where it all ends. We'll see what Chase Budinger does as he is fighting for a chance to go win a medal too.
Yeah. He was the national volleyball player of the year his senior year of high school, and he led his school to 3 straight state championships.
And I will take one thing back. Budinger and his teammate Evans lost yesterday, and they're actually on Monday in the round of 16. So they're their tournament is over.
At first, I thought it said Mike Evans.
No.
Miles. No. Miles Evans.
All men's volleyball does is pull great athletes from other sports because there is no pipeline. They just have to grab them and teach them and see how they do. No. Buttinger and Miles Evans did lose on Monday, so they're out of the Olympics. Around a 16 berth for Buttinger ends there. The dream ends there. We'll see. He's like 36 now. We'll see if he's back when he's 40 and he plays in his home state of California when the Olympics are in L.A. Okay, the Texans. Texans we'll get to a little bit later. There's some news and not really news because we asked Titus Howard one thing. He says he wasn't injured. The reports say he was carted off. He says he walked off. We'll get to that later. But Sean has his Astro hat on, so we'll start there. Fromber, a near no-no. I didn't feel as bad about him missing out as John did. John said it felt like a loss to him. I felt like it was a great night. He made a good play in the field that generally turns into a disaster. He had to range off the mound on the third base side and made a solid throw to Singleton for an out in the second. He walked the guy and his teammates surrounded him because they saw some frustration later in the game. He overcame what could have been a blow up, regained his composure, and got into the ninth inning. And of course, you benefited from Yordan hitting the home run, so there was a less stressful ninth. And then Corey Seager did what Corey Seager did. Yordan was one strike away, walked the guy, and Seager hit a home run. Disappointing. Could have been two no hitters for Fromber in almost a calendar year. His first was on August 1st last year, 2023. And on August 6th, he could have had a second one. But the Rangers and Corey Seager spoil that. But you get the win. You gain a game on the Mariners because they lose to Detroit. So I look at last night as a positive. Jake Meyers came through, partly thanks to Semien not being able to turn a double play. That would have got the Rangers out of the inning. The topic conversation probably more than it should have been. I'm forgetting his first name, but Malley?
Tyler.
Tyler Malley was about what we thought because the Astros don't hit anyone. He was
pretty good.
He was pretty good. After 15 months off from pitching in the major leagues, he came in and was fine. Good enough. It just so happens he was going up against a guy who went 8 2/3 of no-hit baseball. If not, Malley would have been the story. But thankfully, Semien couldn't turn that double play. Jake Meyers did what he did with two RBI singles, and the Astros find a way to get it done with Yordan giving them some insurance. And Josh Hader nearly gave everyone a heart attack.
Very, very important insurance.
Right? Yes, because the Seager thing happened, and then
it would have been tied if he didn't hit that home run.
I know. I had the conversation that do you pull a guy if it's two nothing and there's a runner on after he just walked them with over 100 pitches and you're bringing Corey Seager to the plate? John says, baseball guys, you don't do that. And I know baseball guys will say, let him go try to get his no-hitter. It just would have been a very different conversation if Yordan doesn't hit that bomb. Because if it's 2-0 and you give up a home run to Seager after just walking the previous batter, the spotter's not going to get killed for that. You let your guy go. And I also would say, if you are leading the division by 8 games, let Fromber try, even if it's 2-0.
Yeah.
You're down a game. I know it's only August, but you're down a game and a half, at least going into the night. I'd be more apt to pull him and let Hader get the last out.
Not only are you down a game in the playoffs, in the division, also must-win game to keep the Silver Boot
alive. Of course. If they had lost last night, the Silver Boot goes to the Rangers. Yeah. So there's plenty on the line.
So much on the line.
Thankfully, Yordan made that decision easier.
Yeah. Clutch performance by Yordan hitting a home run while they're up 2-0.
Yes. That's
honestly what it was. It was a very clutch ninth inning home run while his team was up 2-0.
In the middle of his pitcher going for a no-hitter.
Yes, but
turns out it was very much needed.
They needed every single
You needed
one
that Yordan home run and an extra 3 feet in the Rangers ballpark, or it could have been tied. Either way.
Yeah.
Either way, if not for, opposite field shot that Chaz tracked down. A little scary for Hader. He likes to give up a home run when he wears an Astros uniform, but thankfully that stayed
situation.
In the park.
It was a safe situation.
Yeah, you're right.
So the ball
stayed in the ballpark, yeah.
Not a safe situation.
That ball would have flown out of the ballpark. But thankfully, we didn't have to worry about it as the Astros get the win. We had a debut last night. DeCenzo, not great. Not great. Don't expect much from him. They rushed him up just a shot in the dark. They're just trying to find any semblance of a spark for the bottom half of that lineup. Thankfully, they got something from Jake Myers yesterday. But I know there's some speculation that they will bring up another minor leaguer here shortly. But you even heard a spot to talk about it. We'll hear from him discussing Fromber's no-hitter when we come back. It was just, hey, we're just giving a guy a shot to see if he can bring something to us. They're in a desperate situation, which makes you think, if you knew this was the case and you suspected this could be the case about bringing up guys who you would deem not ready in any other circumstance, why didn't you secure a bat? I know they tried. We know they tried. Yandy Diaz, that was a guy on their mind. They just didn't get the deal done. The minor league system isn't great. I think they're now ranked 28th in Major League Baseball. So there's not a lot to give up. And some prospects are just going to be guys you're not willing to trade, even if it means securing a bat for the stretch run. So they're looking for answers. They just don't have any. And Kyle Tucker's doing stuff in the field. That was said yesterday as he continues to work his way back. And Verlander as well, I think he'll throw one more live bullpen and then go on. And if that goes well, he'll start his rehab assignment with, I imagine, the Space Cowboys. But the Kyle Tucker thing feels more pressing. Love to have him back in the lineup. They are struggling. They haven't scored more than four runs in a game since Kikuchi, who will be pitching tonight to secure the Silver Boot, was acquired. It's been a...
Welcome to the biggest game of the season, you say.
Yeah. In your second start, all the pressure in the world on you. You got a chance, possibly, depending on what the Mariners do against the Tigers, to retake the AOS lead. Yeah. But more importantly...
Yeah.
Secure the Silver Boot. We can't lose that.
And hey, last guy almost threw a no-hitter. No pressure, dude.
It's all on your shoulders, sir. Get it done.
Let's get another 11 strikeouts.
Maybe you want to do 9 in a row this time.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, you want to break a record? Go ahead. We'd love to have you.
Be our guest.
Yeah, just stay away from Corey Seager, I would say.
Yeah, just walk him.
Yeah,
don't pitch to him.
If you want a good night, don't give him anything to pitch. At least not in this series.
I think when Fromber walked, was it Smith who's batting ahead of Seager? When he walked him, and Seager came up, I was like, man, he might break up the no hitter. Like
I felt like it was a definite.
He's got him out 3 times already, but. Now you have to do it a fourth.
It felt like Smith was the guy to get.
Yes, and then I have first pitch just
confirmed all your fears.
Yoink. Oh, okay.
Okay. Later. Time to say goodbye, Fromber, after 8 2/3. But a great performance. He's been really good. We'll hear from Joe Espada when we come back. Julian, I see you. I imagine it's another Kikuchi joke. You've already tried that once today. I don't have a rule, even though I was on the previous show. This is your first time calling this show today, so I don't care. But do better with your Kikuchi stuff. It hasn't been great so far. So we'll see what he brings to the table. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. You know who's good at the job? I wouldn't call what Julian does a job when he calls in. But he's bad at it. You know who's not bad at it and very good at what they do? Billy Brown and Aqueduct Plumbing. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com to check them out. See all their services. They are a one-stop shop for anything you need when it comes to plumbing. They're consistent, they are competent, and they get the job done. If you want to call them, 713, that's the phone to call into this show. 281-488-6238 is the number. They will give you a free price quote. So if you're not sure about what's going on, they'll check it out, and then they'll figure it out for you. And then you can make a decision about what you want to do, whether it be a water heater, a tankless water heater. You simply got a leak. They will take care of it for you. You don't want dirty water in your home. That's why repiping is so important. You're never sure there's a problem until it occurs, and then you don't have an answer. I know if it happened to me, I wouldn't be able to fix it. That's why Billy Brown and Aqueduct Plumbing Company are the place for you. They've done over 1,000 repipes The contractors are experienced and they're local, so they will take care of the local customer. 281-488-6238 is the number to call them, or simply go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
He was really, really, really good. He's going to get the ball. He's going to go out there, and he's going to go for it. Framberg breaking ball, his sinker, he was efficient and, got into a little bit of trouble there. But he was really good all night.
Was there a point you could sense that he had no-hit stuff early on in the game?
Yeah, 40 pitches through four, getting ground balls, getting those chases on those breaking balls. You could tell he's locked in. When he's got that breaking ball going, he's lethal.
How badly did you guys need a performance like that and the end result tonight?
Yeah, the team needed that win. Framber to go deep, kind of give our bullpen a little break there. Even though we had to use Josh, but it was a really great team win. Jordan, two-run homer. We got a couple of 12 hits, RBI, RBI knocks by Jake Myers. We kind of needed a team win like that.
Joe Espada, after Framber, I heard him say Framber. It goes back and forth between people. People say Framber. Espada said Framber. I'll go with the manager, at least until I slip back into what I normally say when I call him Framber. Framber Valdez. And yeah, that they needed that from him. That was a bad loss on Monday. Worst loss of the year, that's up to you. But it hurt. That's a game you thought you had in hand until your bullpen gave it up. So particularly with Presley and then obviously Ferguson. So they bounce back. The Silver Boot is in question. We'll see what happens tonight with Kikuchi. And Framber, there it is. I slipped right back into it. He has been great in the second half of the season, and that's not the All-Star break, just legitimately 81 games in. Since that point, he's been really good. He is 6-0 in his last eight starts. The Astros have won every one of those eight starts, and he has an ERA right around 2.8. He's been legit. Despite some of the jokes about him throwing the ball away and some of the what you think is what's the word I'm looking for? Mental fragility sometimes when things aren't going his way. He has been a lockdown ace type the last eight times he's gone out there, and they've needed every bit of it, and they needed him last night. The bats weren't great. Jake Myers came through, and Jordan made it, so the final inning wasn't so stressful, although it became that because of Seager's home run and then the long flyout in Hader's second batter, excuse me. Let's go to Julian here. I say that with resignation. We'll see what he does. What's up, Julian?
What it is, Jive Turkeys.
I already regret
it. I have
a
few things. The joke earlier today was spot on. Mm. The delivery was pretty good.
If you can't defend your joke, that's up for the audience to decide. You're already
Brandon, not you.
Go ahead.
You're right. But we can't talk to the audience, so we don't know. Either you don't know.
I'm the audience. So, I'm your audience.
Brandon Ayuk, New England is out. You already talked about that. I honestly think it's going to be Cleveland with Cooper coming back, and that would be best case scenario for me, because I don't feel like anybody the Steelers have other than Pickens is worth us trying to get as far as the receiver's concerned. And then last, I haven't talked about shows with you in a while. It's on MGM Plus. Have you ever heard of it? Have you ever seen it?
I have. It has Harold Perrineau, who was he in Lost? That maybe where you'd recognize
him from.
He was
on The
Matrix. Yes, he was in The Matrix, maybe two or three, maybe both two and three. Yeah, I recognize him. I like that show.
That show is, I just started it. We're at like maybe, I think my fiance and I are at about episode four, and we're hooked already, man. I mean, every day I can't wait to stop driving and eat and get back to the truck so I can watch my show there. But, y'all have a good one, brother.
Appreciate you. Yeah, from MGM Plus, I imagine a lot of you don't have that streaming service. You can find it through Prime if you so choose. I've watched that show. It's pretty good. It's a show where people drive into an area. It's like the Bermuda Triangle, but on land. People drive into an area and can't get out of it. A whole town is built on these people getting like stopped because of a fallen tree, getting out and trying to find a way around it, and eventually just winding up in this town and never being able to drive out of it. And of course, there's a murderous ghost or whatever, and that's kind of the basis of it.
It is like Lost.
Yeah. Well, I didn't watch a lot of Lost, but I guess there it is. And Harold Perrin was like, "Hey, this is familiar because it's the same actor in both shows." It's going into season three, so you have two seasons to catch up on, and then if you like it, you have the anticipation of a third season coming up here, so you'll get an extended run on that. I think it's either 8 or 10 episodes a season. I don't remember. Yeah, season three is coming up here if it hasn't already started. It's a good show. I'm watching Kin. It's weird because that one's on AMC Plus, but I think it's only AMC Plus for the UK. I found a way to watch it because I'm resourceful. I'm not going to go beyond that. You'll be able to find a way to watch if you so choose. It's pretty good. It has Peter Baelish from Game of Thrones in it. He plays the head of a crime family in Ireland, and it also has Daredevil in it as well. He plays the
Ben Affleck?
No, the TV show version of Daredevil. I think his name is Charlie Cox. I think that's what his name is. He plays the hitman of the family who's out of prison. And there's some mystery about how his wife died and he's got to try to get back with his daughter. And they've got this whole crime thing going on. Also has another guy from Game of Thrones. Now that I'm thinking about it, he didn't have a huge role in it. I'm trying to think of how I could describe him. He was the king beyond the wall, if you remember him. He was the king of the wildlings until he wasn't. He made a couple of appearances. He's got a bigger role in the books like a lot of guys do. He winds up dead in the Game of Thrones pretty quickly after his arrival. Yeah, it's very early. Very early with the Wildlings and Jon Snow. He dies. Stannis kills him, I think. Sets him on fire, at least. And then Jon shoots him with an arrow so he doesn't die a miserable death. And the Wildlings are like, "Hey, we like you because you kept our guy from dying. He's the king of the Wildlings." That guy is in the show. He's a longtime actor. You would recognize the face. But considering what this show talks about, that would be one way to know him. I think his name is Ciarán Hinds or something like that. I don't know how to say his first name. It's Irish. I'm missing on how to pronounce a lot of those names. So I'm watching that right now. But what else did he talk about? Brandon Ayuk. If you're going by the internet insider Pretty Ricky, the Ayuk to Steelers trade is a foregone conclusion. That guy's been talking about he's going to be a Steeler for weeks now, even while the reporting was suggesting the Steelers were out of it. His credibility as an insider on the internet without a real name, I would say this. He predicted beforehand that Tua and Jordan Love would get their deals on the same day. He was cryptic about it because that's what all those guys do. He said something like, "I'm flipping," and had a dolphin emoji. And then I think he mentioned cheese in the same tweet about what's going to happen today. And both those guys got their deals on the same day. So that's part of his credibility. Steeler fans are latching on to Pretty Ricky's prediction, even when they felt like they're out of it because of all the national reporters saying they're out of it. Turns out the Steelers are one of Brandon Ayuk's choices. And we heard the San Francisco fan, Julian, talk about he'd rather have Amari Cooper. Understood. But if Pretty Ricky has any say, you're going to take what the Steelers have and like it. And they asked Mike Tomlin about it, too, as the Steelers were getting ready for practice today. And they said, "Have you had any big calls come through in the last couple hours?" He goes, "Well, it's kind of early on the West Coast, so no." So that is his acknowledgement that the Steelers are in on this trade, and we'll see what comes about. But people think Mike Tomlin's giddy about acquiring Ayuk. We'll see how it plays out. But that's the big trade right now, as Brandon Ayuk will be on the move, and the Steelers feel like, at least the Steelers fans feel like they have the inside track because of a insider named Pretty Ricky, of all things. That's where we are in the discourse. Schefter and Rappaport were saying no. Shut up. Pretty Ricky says yes. We're sticking with him.
Okay.
Turns out he might be right.
So Pickens and some picks for Brandon Ayuk?
I wonder if it has to be a wide receiver because we heard the framework for the other trades. Mm-hmm. It was a wide receiver and picks. If you are the Steelers.
Pet fire move.
Huh? You want two tight ends who you got to feed? I guess that would work. We've seen the Patriots do it. Does one of them have to be a murderer for it to work?
No.
Okay. You just need two big-time tight ends. We'll see. Apparently, the 49ers want a wide receiver. Pickens would fit the level of, he's not as good as Amari Cooper, but as far as name recognition, he's better than Bourne, though. I don't know if they want a different wide receiver or they would take one, but the 49ers know that a big-time wide receiver would help their cause. And then Bourne is, at least he fits the system. So, but would they take an offensive lineman? I don't know. The Steelers may want to trade James Daniels, who's an interior guy, a guard. We'll see how it plays out. Doesn't really affect the Texans too much. Although, having Ayuk in Pittsburgh with George Pickens just adds another talented wide receiver core to the AFC. Of course, you got Russell Wilson or Justin Fields throwing them the football, so you feel less concerned. It's not like they're acquiring a big-time quarterback along with it.
Yeah. I do respect the Niners being like, no, give us a player.
I like that.
Too many of these trades are in basketball, it's the same way in football, where it's just like, yeah, just give some picks, whatever.
Yeah,
it's like, no, we want one of your players.
Yeah, if our guy,
we want a real guy.
Not just salary filler. If we, like basketball does, if we are forced into trading our guy because he wants more money than we're willing to give him, we're still trying to win a title here.
Yeah.
So give us a good player that will slide into his role. I like it.
Especially
I'm with
if
you there.
Have to trade him in August.
Yeah, this
it
late.
Might be a little different if it feels like before the draft. It's like,
yeah, you can make him. Now they did draft Ricky Pearsall, but maybe. Maybe they would have gone really all in on taking another wide receiver if they knew.
Or traded up.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't it have been nice for the 49ers to have Malik Nabers? What he's doing?
They would have had to trade up like 20 picks.
Well, maybe he's worth it if we're going by what he's doing to the Lions.
I think the Niners need a hold. It's still the Trey Lance trade up is still fresh in everyone's minds.
Yeah,
I think
rough
they
for
need
them.
A hold up on the, hey, let's get all the way into the top 10. It's like, all right.
Yeah, that did not work out.
No, it did not work out. Although Malik Nabers.
It's been really good.
He looks like he's better at being a receiver than Trey Lance at a quarterback.
He probably is better at being a wide receiver than Trey Lance is at doing anything. If we're going by what Malik Nabers is as a wide receiver in the first couple of days of camp.
You know what? I can't say that.
I don't know what Trey Lance
does. Maybe he's good at Scrabble.
Maybe he's a great Call of Duty player. Who knows? But Malik Nabers has been a pretty dominant wide receiver so far.
He's the Chase Bunger of Call of Duty.
Some guys have it, some guys don't.
Pro in one sport, then it's like, you know what? Actually, I'm going to go pro in Call of Duty.
You can make your money.
Make the being 28 Olympics playing video games.
Being a professional gamer, there's money to be made. I've learned that from all the videos that pop across my timeline of people playing EA College Football. I didn't know there were so many professional gamers.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
Kirk Benkert has become a guy, the former Virginia quarterback, spent some time in the NFL. That guy is becoming a guy you can go to figure out coverage schemes and how you beat him. He's made his thing.
I've seen that video.
Like he has a podcast that he does about actual football, real football, like not video game football. It's not fun. But he also instructs people on how to read coverages as an actual quarterback who has done it in real life, doing it in college football. That's a lane for him now. His Instagram following. Yeah, you want to talk about how Brock Purdy's doing against the Seattle Seahawks, that's okay. But tell me, as virtual Blake Chapin, how I can beat a defense. I'd appreciate that more.
Virtual Blake Chapin. I can't wait until the, 2038 Olympics, 2034 Olympics, when esports is an Olympic sport. Just by the way we're going.
I did not know speed wall climbing was an Olympic sport.
Speed wall climbing. We're adding flag football.
Yeah. Why not?
They added skateboarding.
Yeah. Yeah. They said, hey, the X Games can't have it all, right?
They need to. I think the Olympics needs a one in, one out kind of scenario.
So, what would you replace flag football with? I mean, excuse me. What is flag football
getting
pushing out?
Yeah. Let's look at some of these events, huh?
We'll do that coming back. Sean will have an answer about what should leave the Olympics now that flag football is joining the Olympics when we come back, because this is how serious this show is. We'll also hear from people who are out at Texans camp. Some of the coaches spoke, the coordinators did, and also Diana Rossini. She was out there. She covered practice on Monday. She of The Athletic now. She talked about C.J. Stroud, and she also talked about the mindset of Stephon Diggs, which is something that will be a focus throughout the year. Is he happy? Is he getting enough touches? Is he going to be a disruptive force? We know Nick Cassero has said he's been nothing of the sort since he's been here. We'll hear from Diana Rossini when we come back about how happy Stephon Diggs is as a Texan. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So while Sean is figuring out what should be out of the Olympics in place of flag football in 2028, we can talk about actual football. Things that involve tackling, although not in camp. The Texans are being covered by a lot of national media. We had the NFL Network guys out there this week while they were in Ohio. We also have Diana Rossini, formerly of ESPN, now with The Athletic. And she, like everyone else, has a podcast. She was discussing the Texans and what she saw. And Stephon Diggs was, despite Danielle Hunter signing and Al-Shaair, and bringing in Denico Autry, Stephon Diggs is the big name that they brought in this year in the trade with the Bills. Here is Diana Rossini discussing the happiness level of the wide receiver.
Diggs operate from walking off the bus down this hill because they were playing at a high school.
Yeah.
This is where they're practicing right now. He didn't look to the left or the right. He's just laser focused on what he wants to do. And then watching him going through all the different drills, just pro, absolute pro the entire time. And I saw him talking to a lot of the receivers too, just guidance, mentoring a bit. And I was actually able to talk to him after practice about what this experience has been like in Houston. And look, it's summer. Everyone's optimistic. Change is good, I think, for people, especially for a player like him who wants to be the best at what he does. And, you know, we discussed what this organization has already done for him in terms of what he wants to do this next year. And I thought he was going to give me a little bit more sour of an answer from now no longer being in Buffalo, which that was a place I knew he did like. And he was a captain there. He was a big part of the Bills' success. And I just found him to be happier than I've ever seen him, and I've covered him since he was at Maryland, rejuvenated and leaning into this role of being the guy in the room.
Yeah.
And helping guide these receivers who look to him. You know, he was telling me, like, they grew up watching some of the stuff he's been able to achieve over the years. You know, he's like, I don't feel old, but I'm the old guy,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I also talked to the Houston Texans receiver coach.
Diana Rossini, happiest he's ever been since she's seen him. I mean, it's good to hear. It is training camp. She did offer those as caveats. It's training camp. You know, we don't know. Once the season begins, we'll see. Once the targets actually start being divvied up, we'll see. But right now, Stephon Diggs doing nothing but impressing on the field and off of it right now. Speaking of him, he is not practicing today. He joins a list of Texan starters that include Brevin Jordan, Kamari Laster, Will Anderson, Christian Harris, Titus Howard, who we can get to a little bit here. Who else is out there? Laramie Tunsil, Danico Autry. So those guys aren't practicing. Kamari Laster throw in there as well, if I hadn't mentioned him already. Russell Wilson's not practicing. He will not start. Mike Tomlin says it's a quarterback competition, so that competition will begin in earnest when the Texans see the Steelers, and Justin Fields will be the starter in that one. Russell Wilson is dealing with an injury, so we will see Justin Fields on Friday against the Texans. We'll see what he has. Maybe he won't have Ayuk to throw to by that point, but maybe he's on the roster. We'll see.
Maybe he gets a standing ovation from the crowd.
If they make the trade by today, will Ayuk be on the sideline wearing Steelers gear on Friday?
Yeah.
It's a tough turnaround if it happens tomorrow.
Yes.
But if it happens today.
Maybe tomorrow morning?
Would he be in a rush?
Yeah, just I mean, he just gets on a plane and goes.
Yeah, I mean, does he even care enough to... Will they even... Hey, yeah, wait it out. Come by on Monday.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, have a long weekend, Brandon. We'll see you on Monday.
Yeah. Start looking for places.
Yeah. But if he gets traded today, there's a chance he's out there and everyone gives him a big ovation. So if you are into things like we are into and Twitter accounts who allegedly know things about trades, Pretty Ricky, that's Ricky with an E, 213. That's the follow. He is telling us right now, the world, because people are waiting on bated breath for this deal to go down, that the 49ers won't get a first-round pick from the Steelers. They were offered that in May, but times have changed.
Wow.
The price of the brick has gone down, apparently. and the brick is Ayuk. So
you know what? I've never heard the price of the brick going down.
I know. It's always up. But in this case, if they're not getting a first-rounder for him, the price of the brick gone down. So Pretty Ricky with an E, 213. That's the guy to follow. That's who the Steeler fans are leaning into. Because he's held strong.
Because he's telling them what they want to hear?
Well, yes.
Okay.
You have to follow the person who's confirming what you want.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, do the Browns fans have someone that they're following? And the Patriots fans, when they were in it, do they have someone they're following?
Or? Yeah, those plebes are following the Nash reporters who don't know anything.
Wow.
Rappaport and Schefter, whatever.
Who?
Yeah. That's what Pretty Ricky would say. And his avatar is a dog with the NFL hat on, the Bud Light dog with the hat on. So if you want to take him seriously, go ahead.
I kind of like that.
I don't mind it, actually. I appreciate it. And he likes the NWO. That's his headliner. Picture. It's the Wolf Pack with Hulk Hogan in the background. Yeah. That's the vibes. The man's been right before, and he's trending that way again. Sorry, Julian. No first round pick for you. No George Pickens for you. You deal with it.
Yeah, just get whatever scraps
the Steelers are willing to throw your way. Brandon Ayuk doesn't have a no trade, but he effectively is treating this like, hey, I'm not going to sign an extension with the Patriots, so you might want to stop negotiating with them. And if he tells them he won't sign an extension with the Browns, they're kind of out too. Why are they trading Amari Cooper and picks for a guy who doesn't want to be there?
Yeah.
He can kind of control where he goes.
That's what happens when guys get on the last year of their deal, where they can be, I will not re-sign with you. So trade with that in mind.
Yeah.
And that's how you can influence where you go.
No trade clause or not. There is a big name who's made a decision in the NBA. We'll get to that when we come back. There's some not real talk, but there's a thought that maybe if the Rockets were looking to add a big piece, he could be a guy. Well, he's taken himself off the market for at least a year. We'll get to that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So, the Utah Jazz have made a decision after weeks of trade talks involving Lauri Markkanen. He is going to remain a member of the Jazz. And he signs the deal a year to the day after the trade deadline in the NBA. Or 6 months. Six months to the day. Which means he can't be traded before next offseason, which I believe was on purpose. He likes being in Utah. He signs a giant max deal for them. So the thought of him maybe being a Warrior, there are other teams involved as well. That is not the case. The Jazz keep... I'm trying to figure out where to rank him. He's a good stretch four. Maybe you even want to call him very good. Is he a franchise changer? Probably not. I found the level of interest in him as far as what people were saying people should give up kind of crazy. He's not changing the trajectory of your franchise, but he could be a good three on a team who's trying to win a title. He's going to remain with the team who has no real interest in winning a title right now, the Jazz, but he stays. Would we have been okay giving him a max deal? The price feels high. Feels high for Lauri Markkanen. It does.
One-time All-Star?
yeah, 27 years old. Price is very high for him.
One most improved player 2 years ago.
Understand.
The year that he was an All-Star.
Understand.
Okay.
It just feels like a lot.
Yeah.
To pay your third best player if you're trying to win a title.
Yeah.
Like he would be the best player in the Rockets with Şengün right on his tail. But just feels like too much. Too much to give up, too much to pay. And the Jazz are in a far different position, so they made the deal.
It's a situation where for the Jazz, sure, knock yourself out.
Go right ahead.
There's no one else that they're paying right now. There's no one else that they're going to really use cap space on. Like, they're not going to sign a free agent or a max free agent. You know, next year's Paul George isn't going to Utah.
No.
They don't really have anyone coming up the pike like a Şengün or a Jalen Green who are going to need a new contract, who are going to get a rookie max extension. So at a certain point, it's like, yeah, just spend your money on this guy, re-sign him. At the very least, he smartly, again, signed it 6 months and a day, where the trade restriction takes him past
the trade deadline.
So he just bought himself 11 more months of being a Utah Jazz.
Apparently something he's interested in.
And if you're the Utah Jazz, hey, we can't trade him this season. Next offseason, back on the block with a new deal.
That's right.
With a longer deal.
So we have more leverage to ask for.
Yeah.
You can ask for more stuff.
You can ask for more because now you're getting 4 years of Lauri Markkanen.
He's locked in with no real place to go. Unless Lauri Markkanen appears to be a guy who will demand one spot, and then if you trade him to the wrong spot, he'll ask out. It's generally not a thing the European-born players do.
It's also just harder to do with 4 years on your deal.
Yeah, Dame tried it, and then Portland was like...
He got sent to Milwaukee.
No. We appreciate your efforts.
Miami, how about Wisconsin?
Yeah, how about that? And then Dame, and we talked about this, Dame Lillard was like, I wasn't sure where I was going to get traded, so I wasn't in the greatest shape. Milwaukee's like, oh, thanks. Thanks for that. You knew you were going to play basketball, right? But you're afraid to get hurt, so you didn't work out. But you weren't going to retire, so you knew you had to play. How about you stay in shape, just in case?
Just hit the Peloton for
us. Yeah, all we're asking for, worried about getting hurt. Okay, sure. So, Markkanen stays in Utah. How it changes the West? Doesn't change it at all. The Jazz will be the Jazz, and then they'll probably be in a position to win 30-some games, and then say, that's too many. We're hoping for Cooper Flagg, even if it's the rarest of chances because we've been too good, and they'll tank. That's what they've done the last couple of years.
Gosh.
Been okay, and then decide to shut it down.
Utah with Cooper Flagg and Lauri Markkanen leading the way.
They're really leaning into the bit.
Season tickets available.
They're leaning into the bit. Who else could they draft? Or who else could they sign?
Oh, I was going to say, I have no idea. Another white guy in the draft.
Who's going to be that good? Yeah, but I'm sure that would be a big hit, but I think Markkanen and be around will make them too good. But we'll see. He's off the board. No worries there. He stays in a place that won't affect the Rockets really at all. He doesn't make anyone better.
Hey,
Jazz will be the same.
They'll play him 3 or 4 times this year. I don't know if they're in the same in-season tournament group. Maybe that that I don't know.
That's too much. Who cares?
I thought for a second about looking up in-season tournament groups. So I was like, who cares? Not in August.
No, not right now.
I'm boycotting looking up in-season tournament groups until the season actually starts.
I'm kind of boycotting looking them up at all. Once again, there's an in-season tournament game. Cool, the floor's different. All right, we'll keep it moving. Something more important, but not that important, is how the Silver Boot's going to be won. And we have the lineup out. DeCenzo gets his second start. We know Kikuchi's out there. Lineup is one of your best. You got Altuve, Bregman, Alvarez, Diaz, Peña, Caratini, Myers, DeCenzo. Not great. Dubon hitting ninth. So, solid lineup as the Astros are taking this seriously, Sean. Despite your willingness to talk down on the Silver Boot, they're taking it seriously.
I didn't talk down.
I sensed it from you.
I said it was the biggest game of the season.
Sarcasm. I sensed that. But the Astros aren't taking it that way. It's not one of their getaway lineups.
It's a trophy game, Dell. There's going to be a trophy. They're going to have to walk past a trophy when they walk onto the field.
They currently have the Silver Boot, right? They were the winners of the – you don't know. I think they won the season series last year. I was thinking, do the Rangers run into the Astros dugout and grab it out of there like a trophy game if they win? I think the Astros have won the Silver Boot last year, so they don't have to run into the Rangers dugout if they win tonight or this afternoon. So it's not a real trophy game because I need that. I need someone running for an axe or the Floyd of Rosendale trophy, whatever the hell that's called.
The Rangers are currently on a two.
Oh, so they lead. They won the Silver Boot last year.
The last 2 years.
Oh, so Altuve. So Altuve can run into the dugout and grab the Silver Boot out of the Rangers dugout if they win this one. A dead sprint after the final out. I certainly hope so.
I don't know how updated this is.
I'm getting bad information.
Because it says the next meeting is August 5th, 2024 at Globe Life Field.
The Astros won the season series last year 9-4.
Oh.
So they own the Silver Boot.
It might just be literally the current win streak.
Yeah, I think it's probably like what it is.
How many wins the Rangers have.
And they have the one because it hasn't been updated since Corey Seager's home run. Josh Smith's home run, excuse me. Yeah. They haven't updated it since the Monday night game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Josh Smith ending that one. So we'll see. The lineup is strong. You got a chance to either take the lead from the Mariners or at least stay within a half. And you can also take the Silver Boot home with you, which is the big thing here. Champions of Texas. So very important. Although, you know, you win the Silver Boot last year and the Rangers beat you in the ALCS. So which one's more important?
I think that's up to the fans to debate.
Both of them came with a trophy.
Yeah, which trophy means more to you?
The AL pennant, or the Texas pennant? I'm gonna go with the AL pennant because then it gets you into the World Series. What does this one get you? It doesn't get you a pass to anything.
A trophy case that you can put something. You can put something in your trophy case.
Nah. It's a fine award for fake trash talking when you're an Astros fan talking to the Rangers fans.
When Dusty Baker goes into the Hall of Fame.
You know, it's not on his Wikipedia. You know, when they list the accomplishments of all the players and every coach, it doesn't say Silver Boot winner 2023 on Dusty's Wikipedia page.
No, I think maybe it does say four-time Silver Boot winner.
No, it's not part of it. I'm telling you, it's not there. He doesn't get that
as Jose Altuve, 10-time
coaching accolades.
In parentheses, most all time.
Yeah. Leader in Silver Boot series wins.
Yeah. Most home runs in Silver Boot history.
No. It's not a thing. Unfortunately, we're bypassing a big part of Astros history. We'll see if they can. We will see tonight or today.
This one means more.
More than what?
Than the next game that they play?
Or because it's the
Braves series?
Because it's the current game. The one ahead of you, one that you're playing today,
go home.
Means more than the one you haven't played yet. I will agree with that.
Again, they're in the eighth inning, they're going to cut away to somewhere in the clubhouse while they're shining up the Silver Boot.
You know,
and putting plastic over all the lockers.
Well, if it's really important, the Astros would announce their watch party at Minute Maid. For today's game. Is that why you have a hat on? You're gonna head out here early and go to Minute Maid for the watch party?
That's why
you have your Astros hat on? I should do that as a joke. Just announce, hey, you guys want to watch us clinch a Silver Boot?
Take off work.
The Space City Home Network
at 1:35.
Cameras flash to Minute Maid and there's just some guy tending to the grass. He's the only guy in the building. For the watch party.
Does the fact that it's on at 1:35 and not prime time, does that maybe speak to how some people don't take it as seriously as I do?
Well, we get playoff games at that time of the day.
Yeah, you don't get game seven.
That's true.
They really cut that out by the wild card round.
That's true.
Or after the wild card round.
That's
there might
true.
Be an ALDS at like 5.
You make a point. It's not that important. But we'll see how it plays out. It might be the only trophy they win this year.
It's not that important, but we'll see how it plays out.
What else can I say about it? I want them to win because it means bigger things.
Trophy, yeah.
No, I was talking about the AOS race.
Do you think they're going to have giveaways next season for like get your own replica Silver Boot first 10,000 fans?
Depends on what the roster looks like. You may need to do some giveaways if things go poorly the rest of the way, but you win today. You never know where there's a chance to get people in the building. Just do it the next day after Dollar Hot Dog Day. Just keep rolling people into the building. That's all that matters. We are done with hour one of the show. We're in a barn burner when it comes to Poland versus the U.S. The U.S. have won two out of the first three sets. They're trying to close out Poland in men's volleyball to get to a gold medal game. Poland won't go away. We'll see how it goes. We might be going to a fifth set. We'll see. Also, I'm going to ask Sean how big of a deal Olympic finals are to him. Like, would he watch a men's final, or would he just keep track and then see, oh, this is about to close out, I'll flip to the channel? I feel like I have my answer before I ask it, but we'll see when we come back. There's more text and sound, too. Bobby Slowick talked about the running back room. We know Joe Mixon isn't practicing, but he still has the juice, according to Slowick. Don't know how he knows that. He hasn't practiced yet with training camp, but we'll hear from him. We'll hear from him talk about Damian Pierce in that same clip, and we'll also hear more from Diana Rossini as she gives praise to CJ Stroud. Hour one done. Hour two when we come back. Come with us.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.